I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are
a Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. And certainly, we shall test you with something of fear, hunger, loss of wealth, lives and fruits, but give glad tidings to As-Sabirun, the patient, who when afflicted with calamity say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Truly to Allah we belong and truly to Him we shall return. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Muslim Lady. I am your host, Zainab. I have with me Sister Sadiqa in the studio, who has her field of study is jurisprudence. And today we will discuss miscarriages. Sadiqa, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam, and thank you very much for having me today.
A very warm welcome. It's a pleasure to be with you. Sister Sadiqa, when talking about miscarriages, it's a kind of taboo in many cultures. Like whenever such a thing happens, most of the times we have seen in many, many cultures, the blame is put on mother, a mother who suffers miscarriage, rather than giving her a shoulder, or rather than understanding her pain. She mostly deals with the questions like, you may have gone wrong over there, you may have ate this thing or that thing, and it may have been your fault over here or there. Declining the fact what a mother goes through. Now, since you have a field of study, jurisprudence, I would definitely want to know from you, what does Islam say about that?
Yes, it is very true. I think miscarriage is a taboo subject. We refuse to talk about it. One, it could be because of the grief it comes with. But a lot of the times, the main grief, the main physical ailment is on the shoulders of the mother. We do not allow her to have a chance to express her grief. And as you say correctly, the first thing that happens is it's always the blame on her, rather than allowing her to go through a grieving process, which, if they do not go through the grieving process, 30 years down the line, that pain always lives. It may get stronger or weaker according to their mental state, but it is there. The pain will always live. Now, I'm quoting this from a book written by Shahid Thani. Shahid Thani is a scholar who wrote one of the most famous books in jurisprudence called Sharh al-Lum'ah.
Okay.
Now, Shahid Thani obviously was a jurist and also a traditionist. So he's written hadith, he's collected these hadith.
So he's written commentary on Lumha subject.
Yes, he's written a commentary on all the laws that we have. Not a commentary per se. So he's sort of gone into the laws of jurisprudence that are there. Shahid Thani, the second martyr.
Okay.
His real name is Ahmed Amile Jubahi.
Okay.
He quotes a tradition from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, where the Prophet says that a miscarried child will stand at the gates of paradise asking when he will be told, or when the miscarried child will be told to enter paradise.
Wow.
He will say, what about my parents?
And
then Allah will allow the child to enter with the parents. So a child will be, that miscarried child will be given the status of intercession, will be given the status as an intercessor for his parents or her parents. So having a miscarriage, we have made it into a taboo. Yeah. But Islam understands that this is a normal process.
Yeah.
Things happen. Sometimes things goes wrong.
Yeah.
Life and death are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not in the hands of human beings. Yes, there might be problems that are medical issues, but everything can be resolved through the correct treatment. The course that we should never take is to start the blame game.
Okay.
It doesn't benefit anyone. It just creates more tension within the house.
Mm-hmm.
A husband might think that by blaming his wife, he's letting go of his grief. But believe me, 5 years down the line, she'll always remember that he blamed her when she miscarried a child, rather than giving her a shoulder to cry on.
All right, we'll continue this discussion with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
D
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Miscarriage has become a taboo in many cultures, which is often hidden away or like even a thing to be ashamed of. But in fact, it's actually something that Islam teaches us very openly and beautifully about, like the hadith you mentioned over here. If women knew this, the pain of miscarriage will get divided by two or something.
True, yes, it would make them feel that, yes, as Islam has recognized as a biological process, and that there is also a reward for their pain. And this in itself would bring them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because then they realize that God has not left them alone.
Yeah.
The society might leave them alone. Society might start blaming them and stop focusing on them as emotional beings. But Allah has not let them go to waste. He has understood the trouble and the pain that they have gone through, even though the child did not come into this world as a human being. You know, it was a miscarriage. It was a process that didn't finish.
Well, miscarriage is something that is often confused with abortion. Definitely the women who go for abortion won't be having the same status as the women who went through miscarriages. I would want you to make a difference for the audience between abortion and miscarriage.
Okay. So miscarriage is when a child dies naturally in the womb.
Yeah.
So it could happen anywhere from the second month. And sometimes it happens in the last trimester where the child, well, because of different issues, would die naturally in the womb.
Okay.
Abortion is where a child dies after the mother is given some sort of intervention, such as taking pills.
Yeah.
So the child does not die naturally. It goes through a process where the mother has to take pills for the child to then die. Now, again, these pills can be for different reasons. Like sometimes the child might genuinely pose a threat to the mother.
Okay.
And the doctors decide that continuing with this pregnancy would be fatal for the mother.
Okay.
So they decide to abort the child. In other cases, it is where the mother just does not want the child for whatever personal reason. So they go through the clinics who then offer them medicines, which they have to take over a course of a few days. And because of that, the child dies and it goes through the process of being removed from the womb.
Since you are a student of jurisprudence, I would definitely want to know from you, what is the ruling for these mothers who don't want to have a child and then go for abortion? And what is it considered as? I mean, is it okay? Like you're not okay with the child right now and you go for abortion, or like you are killing a life?
Yes. So in Islam, everything has a right. Everyone has a right. Even that ant that moves around in the house picking up grains has its own right.
Okay.
Therefore, that child who is in the womb, who we might refer to as a clot of blood, also has a right.
Yeah.
The right to live. The right to come into this world and become the perfect being. Now, Islam, right. Given this, that Islam considers this, even that what we refer to as a clot of blood, Islam has given its own rights. Therefore, taking away the right of life from that clot of blood per se is haram.
Okay.
Unless in very, very few circumstances, which have been detailed in the books of jurisprudence, such as I mentioned, where the mother's life is in danger.
Yes, in danger.
And only before the soul enters. Again, in Islam, we have the concept of the soul.
Okay.
So before the soul enters the child, there is a possibility of a woman being allowed, and again I say possibility, of a woman being allowed to go through abortion if her life is in danger.
All right.
And it is deemed that to save her, the child has to go.
Yeah.
It's not that just because we hear a lot of this, my body, my right. Yeah. What about the right of the child?
Exactly.
Right? So when it comes again, after the soul enters, in Islam we believe this is a human being now.
Okay.
This person is now a full human being who just has to go through a biological process to go from one world, which is the world of the womb, to enter into another world, which is the physical world that we see today.
Yeah.
So after 4 months, when the soul enters, that's it. The buck stops there. You can't go ahead and abort the child. And again, there could be very, very, very rare circumstances where this would be allowed. But again, I say rare. Because it's not something that can be done as per a mother's wish. Because as I said, the child has a right.
Yeah.
And Islam looks at that right very seriously.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
are discussing miscarriage, and Sidika has made a beautiful difference between abortion and miscarriage. And now, coming back to miscarriage, Sidika, mothers go through a lot of pain in this, and we like living in a society. If, for example, even if I know, I have had some relatives who went through miscarriages, and they were like very, very depressed with this fact. But we hardly like to talk about it, this with a mother. Maybe like not to remind her, or maybe because of some other things. Why do you think a woman who goes through miscarriage has to face so much pain all alone? And does even Islam tell that she has to bear this pain all alone?
Okay. When it comes to looking at a mother who has to go through the pain of miscarriage, a lot of it is because of our cultural tendencies.
Yeah.
Right? The family unit is one of the most important units in Islam.
Yeah.
If we see the relationship between a husband and a wife should be very strong. But a lot of the times, because of our cultural differences, because of our cultural tendencies, we refuse to take into account what can happen after a miscarriage. You may see people who follow all the recommended and obligatory actions. Because of the cultural tendencies that they have in the back of their mind, they're unable to put the two together. Islam understands miscarriage as a normal biological process, but it also puts a reward for the mother and the father. But our cultural tendencies say that whatever happens is the mother's fault. So a person who may believe in Allah as a giver and taker of life, when they're faced with something that goes against the cultural tendencies, they cannot unite the two. So they go back to the cultural understanding of the issue.
Yes.
And because we've not discussed this as much as it should be discussed,
exactly,
we've not been able to take control of this cultural tendency that is now getting out of control.
Out of control.
Say out of control because I watch a lot of vlogs as well, right?
Yeah.
So after my miscarriage, I was going through a vlog about another woman who had a miscarriage, who was a woman.
Yeah.
She lived in Canada. She still lives in Canada. And when she had a miscarriage, she went to the hospital. And the nurse over there quite frankly told her, you're just very hormonal.
Oh.
Now to take a woman's grief and to put it down to hormones can be the
worst thing you can ever do.
Exactly. It's like kicking a person when they're down.
Yeah.
Right? And this does not exist.
Or like we have a proverb that says, somebody's house is burning and you're heating up yourself. When a nurse said her like that, she kind of really, as you put it right, kicked her pain.
Yes, so when we do not understand or we refuse to talk about these topics, we allow them to take their own shape and form in a society, and then it just becomes part normal. It just becomes a normal part of society.
Yeah.
Well, she miscarried. It's her fault. She must have done something wrong because the baby was in her womb, rather.
So rather than understanding a woman, we try to put all the blames over her rather than just sharing her pain. We try to put all the blame on her. You just mentioned one point. I would want to give a very brief explanation of this. You said even father has a reward, which is not very clear among the audiences. I would want you to tell us that. How does father have reward in miscarriage?
Yes. So because a child is created through the father and a mother.
Yeah.
The father as well is seen as an important person in that family unit, rather. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, in his treatise of rights, says a very important point. You must know that your father is your root.
Your father is your root.
So even in miscarriage, as it happens, the father as well, being the root of the child, is given a reward on the day of judgment where his child becomes his intercessor.
Intercessor.
While we're discussing the grief of the mother, it is also important to know that fathers go through their own grief process as well.
Yeah.
Given that not many men are emotionally express themselves, but they do go through their own emotional grief that we need to address as well at some point.
Well, that was very beautiful that both parents are being rewarded, and a child who is miscarried acts as intercessor of both the parents, not only for his mother. That's so relieving. Thank you so much, Sadiqa, for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. For any of your questions, you can email us at irib@englishradio.ir, and you can search us on social media platforms by just searching Call of Islam Radio. Thank you so much for listening. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges.